take your Bible and turn to look at Daniel, Daniel chapter 1. I tried to preach this last week. It just didn't work out. I did share a little bit out of this particular passage, but I'm going to just kind of start afresh. And really kind of that first point, I got about halfway through that, so I'm going to kind of quickly go through point one, or about halfway, and then really kind of settle in. And so just know Daniel is a timeless book. It's written for people just like us that face pressures of the world and hardships and trials and tribulations. But it shows that God is able to do mighty things in the life of people and bring them through that. So hopefully as you look at the book of Daniel this morning, recognize it's not something just written 16 or 2,500 years ago, but written really for us that we may enjoy the power of God and a life filled with the Father above. So notice Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom there was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, of whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and to whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and a sense of direction. Thank you, Lord, for your word that brings this idea that we can truly trust in you and follow you, and that you will deliver us and help us in our times that we seem impossible to overcome. And yet we know because of you, we can surely do that. So, Lord, today I pray that we would see Daniel, that we see ourselves in the same place, that we would see ourselves being helped by you to overcome those things that surround us. So, Lord, give me unction and clarity of mind and focus. Let me speak those things that are needful and necessary. And thank you so much for your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I did share last week, and I'm going to share it again, about the lady who went to the mall shopping. She goes quite regularly. She gets through shopping, and lo and behold, she looks in her purse and finds no keys. She said, oh my goodness, I must have left my keys in my purse, or my keys in the car. So she rushes out there to her parking spot that she always parks at, and no car. She panics. She calls 911. She said, somebody has stolen my car. Kind of feeling dumb about that, she calls her husband and says, I've left my keys in the car and somebody stole the car. And he said, honey, you did not do that. Remember, I dropped you off at the mall. She said, oh, can you come pick me up? He said, just as quick as I could convince these deputies that I did not steal your car. So the thought is this, sometimes we forget all kind of things. We forget our keys, we forget this, we forget that, but we should never forget who is in control. We should never forget that we're the children of the Most High. We should never forget those things that God has given us. And can I tell you about Daniel? Daniel was a man who did not forget whose he was. He did not forget that he served the Almighty. He did not forget those key things in his life that really matter to God. And so this morning, I want you to recognize that God wants us not to forget. He wants us to be found faithful in all things. So again, as we look at Daniel, recognize there's some things that happened to him that may be similar to us in one sense. Know where Daniel was and how he overcame so we can do the same. Notice the first thing, again, I shared with this, there's the problem for the faithful, the problem for the faithful. We're going to find that even good people have troubles and trials. There's no doubt about it. Even good, faithful people that love God still face issues in their life. Notice first, there's the collapse of the country, the collapse of the country. Again, verse 1 says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. We recognize that Babylon was a mighty country in those days. They had risen to power. King Nebuchadnezzar had really was a great general in one sense, and rallied and conquered many peoples around them. And it's amazing, you look at their life, they was used by God to bring in subduction many people. But through all that, we're going to recognize that God does something good through that. So when you think about your life, we don't have a country that has fallen yet. We don't have a country that's being invaded. But maybe your life is having some issues. And again, the thought is that issues come by three or four reasons. Let me just share three real quick. Sometimes our troubles and trials do come by our sinfulness and our selfishness. Numbers 32:23 says, "But if you will not, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that he shall also reap." And so when we do things that are contrary to God's will, we invite trouble in our life. Let me say that again. When we do things contrary to the will of God, we invite trouble in our life. The second issue is Satan is against you. We live in a fallen world where it is run by Satan in one sense, and he is against us. I like what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. He had a plan to do something for God. He had a plan to visit others. He had a plan to do great things to honor the Lord above. But he says this, "Wherefore we would come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us." And so we know the evil one is out there, causing all kind of issues in our life. We understand that. He was against Job. He was against Paul. He was against Peter. We find so many times that Satan comes against us as believers. Jesus said this about Satan, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy." But then he says, "But I have come that they may have life and have life more abundantly." But there's a third reason or idea that we have troubles and trials, and sometimes that is from the Father above. Sometimes the Lord allows things to happen. Notice Daniel 1, verse 2. "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand." In other words, God allowed for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to overrun Judah, to conquer that land. Now, you may think that's a terrible thing. Well, they had done things that are contrary to the will of God. They'd sinned for many, many years. Israel had fallen some time ago, maybe 100 years before, but they did not learn the lessons from Israel. And so now Judah is given to the hand by God into the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar. But let me remind you, if you're a child of God, God's still going to use this for his honor and glory. It's going to be used for good in the end as we read through the book of Daniel. Remember, Joseph was in a similar situation. He was captive, but God brought him out. And notice Genesis chapter 50, when all these things worked out and his brothers stood before him in that last day. Notice Genesis chapter 50 says this, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I'm not in the place of God, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it to pass as of this day, to save much people alive." Can I tell you, in our life today, sometimes bad things happen, but if you know God, if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, God takes those things, works those things out for good in your life, that other people may know who he is and also receive the idea of salvation. We see that in, again, Joseph's life and Daniel's life and David's life. Multitudes of people come to faith in the Lord above. So there's the collapse of the country. But secondly, there's the consecrated things that were taken, the consecrated things that were taken. And again, I shared a little bit last week. When you read verse 2, it says this, "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with the part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God." Now, you look around and say, what's going on here? Nebuchadnezzar comes in. He sees the temple. He pulls out all those vessels that were still in there, vessels of gold and silver, those precious things, and brings them back to Babylon and puts them in his house of his God. Now, again, why I removed these? Because they were valuable. They were gold and silver of great value. But also, we see that Nebuchadnezzar wants to say, my God is greater than your God. My God conquered your God, which we'll find out that is not true. But thirdly, it will keep the Jews from worshiping as they were commanded. Let me remind you, it was a big deal. For no longer could you go into the house of God and offer sacrifice. No longer could you go in and burn incense in the temple. No longer could you bring sacrificial gifts and lay them before the altar. All that was gone. And it brings a sense of defeat. It brings a sense of farness away from God. They lost the consecrated things. Now, again, I mentioned last week again about this verse that we're in that same boat in one sense. We're losing the consecrated things that God has established in this country. We have lost the things of great value. We've lost prayer in schools. We have lost this idea of putting the Lord first through our classrooms and lifting up God in every place. We have given over to this idea of science and philosophy, which are great, but when they teach there is no God, it is removing the things that are consecrated. We have spurned the Lord's Day. We have lost our fellowship. Now, I know we're kind of lacking today because of rain, but man, the house of God should be filled in this land. And yet we've allowed the consecrated things to be lost. I wonder if the enemy came and took our Bibles, would we even miss them? I think about the consecrated things that God has given us. We should recognize that God wants us to hold on to what is holy and lift up His good name. But thirdly, not just the collapse of the country and the consecrated things that were taken, but the children were removed. The children were removed. Verse 3, and it came, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and the princes, children whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach of the learning of the tongues of the Chaldeans. And so the king said, go get me some of the finest in the land, kings, or the children of the kings and those princes, bring them back to Babylon, that I may teach them the ways of the Babylonians, so I may use them to further my kingdom. See, they're not like the Assyrians. If you recognize the Assyrian nation that conquered Israel, those guys were terrible. They would come in and they would demolish and burn and tear up everything. They would rape the women. They would kill the children. They would skin the men alive and sometimes even take the skins of men and decorate their homes with them. The Assyrians were terrible people. Matter of fact, you remember Jonah. Jonah was called to go to Nineveh, and Jonah said, no way, I don't want to go to Nineveh, because he hated the Assyrians. These Babylonians were much different. They would bring the people in. They would change their mindset. They would clothe them, assimilate them. And then those people that were conquered would begin to say, hey, Babylon is good. The world is good. And turn away from their gods. And so we find that very thing taking place in the life of this nation of Judah. So notice, again, first there's going to be a change of location, a change of location. Satan and Babylon wanted them to believe that once they were removed from the Holy Land, they no longer had to be holy. Sometimes a change in our location removes some accountability in our life, so we are also no longer holy in one sense. Sometimes for our teenagers, you have a little bit of freedom in your own car. Maybe it's a date night, and you're allowed to leave the accountability of your parents, and we find a change of a location. Sometimes things don't go as holy as they should. Sometimes adults leave our family. Maybe it's just across the house or across the town or across the state. Maybe it's a business trip, but we leave a holy place because we've changed locations. Now we feel the freedom to live in sin. Somebody said, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Can I tell you that's the biggest lie Satan has ever told? Just because you change locations doesn't mean that God does not see all things. So here's what I found in our life. For the most part, we are good, especially at church. But when we get down the road, because we've changed locations, we seem to feel that we have lost the sense of holiness. And so thankfully, Daniel sets the stage. Daniel is called out, moved out, but he does not change who he is. I like the old saying, you can take the boy out of the country, but you cannot take the country out of the boy. Daniel was the same way. Daniel said they will take Daniel out of the Holy Land, but they will not take the Holy Land out of Daniel. We need to be people just like that. When God lets us move in different places, when God allows us to go in different locations, we still are a holy people before Him. There was a change in location, but secondly, there was a change in identification. A change in identification. Verse 6 says this, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 7 says, to the prince of the eunuchs gave names. He gave to the Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now notice what these names mean. This is a big deal. Hananiah means the Lord is gracious. He changed to Shadrach, illumined by the sun god. Mishael means who is the Lord, is now Meshach, who is Ishtar. That was another false god. Azariah means the Lord is my help, becomes Abednego, means a slave of Nabu. Daniel means God is my judge, becomes Belteshazzar, Bel's prince. And you begin to look at these names. Why change their names? Because they wanted them to identify no longer with who they were, but now identify with Babylon, that world system. It was a way to motivate them. I had a football coach that would do the same thing. He would find troubled kids on the team and give them a nickname to encourage them. He would call some of them like, yeah, your name's not going to be Tony anymore. It's going to be Dog or Catch Dog or something like that to motivate the kids to be different. And so we find that their names are changed, and now they're expected to be different. I wonder what we are called today. I wonder what people call us when they see us. Can I tell you what? The Lord has called us by name. We are the children of the Most High. He has called us the people of the way. He has called us the disciple of Christ. He has called us Christians. And it was first seen that in the book of Acts chapter 11. We are called by a different name and should live so. Now we're going to find that Daniel does not protest about these name changes. So here's the thought. You cannot help what others call you, but you can live in such a way that they know what you stand for. And so they had a change of name. Change of location, change of identification. But thirdly, they had a change in nutrition. A change in nutrition. That's the best I could come up with, but hang on. Verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision, the king's meat, of wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they may stand before the king. So this is where it gets good. They're brought in. They've seen this great city, and it's a huge place. Herodias would say this city would, he was writing about 150 years after this time. He said that the city would have walls that were, in his way, 320 foot tall, 58 miles around, 80 foot wide. That's what he said. Whether it's less, I don't know, but it was an impressive place brought in. They wanted to change their thinking, and so now they're changing their diet. So, what's wrong with the diet they're being fed? Well, notice it could be corrupted. It was probably unclean things. They've been raised up to eat things that were holy before the Lord, things spelled out in the Bible. But now, lo and behold, it's unclean. Maybe it was a barbecue pork sandwich, I'm not sure. Or lobster or shrimp or maybe fried catfish. I do not know. But I do know this, it was unclean in their eyes. Secondly, probably sacrificial to a false god. They would probably kill the animal, sacrifice, go through the thing. And then when you ate that, you were saying, this God provided this. Now at this point, we're going to find that they protest. Not about their change of names, not about their location, but they will protest this. And by the way, sometimes you got to pick your battles. This was a battle they surely wanted to pick. Now notice this, the enemy wants to fill us with the worldly things. I'm reminded what it says in 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so just know, sometimes Satan comes around, he wants to fill you with things that are not good. Remain faithful, remain true. Simply live a life that honors him, and that's what they'll do. So we go from the problems of the faithful to now the possibilities of the faithful, the possibilities of the faithful. They could have chosen to eat, they could have chosen to get along, but notice this. Daniel made a choice based on a previous commitment. He will say, I will not do this. And so that first part says, Daniel made a choice based on a previous commitment. Verse 8 says this, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He made a commitment not to do those things. You say, well, preacher, what's the big deal? There's just a little bit of pork or a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Let me remind you, God's called us to be faithful. And when you allow just the little things to creep in and creep in and creep in, before we know it, the little things become big issues in our life. Now, they could have said, well, hey, let's get past this. It's okay. We're living a foreign land. We can do this. Sometimes we can rationalize why it's okay to sin. They could have said, well, the king's ordered it, therefore it's the law. Remember going back to Romans chapter 13, it's the law of the land. We ought to obey that. They could have said to disobey brings severe punishment. They could have said, well, it'll probably, if we don't eat this, spoil our chances of advancement in our workplace. Well, like the old saying goes, maybe in Rome or Babylon or a Christian, or I shouldn't say Christian, but a Christmas party, simply do as the natives do. He was a long way from home, he could have said. No one will ever know. Or he could have said God had failed him in permitting his capture anyway, so why not just go along with everyone else? Can I remind you, you can rationalize sin all you want to, but sin is still sin. God is still on the throne. God wants you to follow him. His way is best. Daniel recognized that and simply made a choice to follow the Lord. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Notice this. Daniel made a choice before the choice was available. Daniel made a choice before the choice was available. One more time. Daniel made a choice before the choice was available. If you want a purpose in your heart, let me remind you, you should be like that. Let me tell you, you should make your choice before you have an opportunity to do bad. Think about what you're doing next. Make sure that you work out the details and say, I will remain faithful if this takes place. I will do this if this opportunity arises. I will make the choice before the choice is available. Daniel purposed in his heart. You know, we face all kinds of sins today of stealing and cheating, lying, immorality, and lustful things. And we're overcome by our circumstances. Why? Because we did not make a choice before the choice came about. We could talk about going out on dates. We could talk about the different things there. We could talk about all kind of possibilities. But I wonder, will we simply make a choice to do what's right? The Bible clearly spells out what is right and wrong. You say, well, preacher, what about the gray areas of life? Well, there's a great test about gray areas. Sometimes the Bible doesn't specifically talk about this thing or that thing, but it does give us enough to make sure that we understand what is good. So here's three quick tests. First is the test of secrecy. Notice this. If you do something that you know may be wrong or right, would you be embarrassed if others knew that you were involved in it? If your parents knew all that you'd searched for and found on the internet, would you be embarrassed? Would you be welcome Jesus to sit by your side and view all your activities? Do you have to do everything in secret? If you have to do it in secret, it is probably not right. Secondly, there's the test of universality. That means, would you encourage everyone to do what you're doing? What kind of community in the world would we have if everyone was involved in your secret activity? Now, Paul makes a mention of this. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even also I'm of Christ. And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So I wonder, can you simply tell others, do what I'm doing, and you will be blessed by the Lord. The third test is not just secrecy and universality, but the third test is the test of prayer. Can you pray and ask God's blessing on your activity? The thing that you're doing, can you say, Lord, bless this. Bless it because is it right in your eyes? If you can't answer those questions, I wonder, is it right for us to do those things? Daniel made a choice based on a previous commitment. He knew what was right and followed through. Secondly, Daniel made a choice based on faithful companions. Notice verse 11. Then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Daniel had some faithful friends that were also willing to stand with him. Daniel had a group of people around him, companions, that would build him up. I wonder what kind of people we have around us. We'll rise and fall many times by those that we hang out with. Remember the old saying, you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. Amen. It is true. Those around you will influence you to go in the wrong direction many times, or they will influence you to go in the right direction. I wonder, will you hang around people that would encourage you in your faith? I can remember one time I had some friends that were not too good. My dad said, son, you will not hang around those people. Now, I was mad about it for a little bit, but I learned quickly. Dad knew a lot more than I thought he did, and those people turned out to be really bad. I tell you, we could have gone in the wrong direction. We need good, faithful people. Somebody said there's three types of friends. Those that stick with you when you're in trouble, those that leave you when you are in trouble, and those that lead you into trouble. Pick your friends wisely. We need great people. And it starts with the house of God. Find some godly people to encourage you, to help you move in the right direction. Well, here's the third thing. Not Daniel made a choice based on a previous commitment and a faithful companions, but Daniel made a choice on future consequences. Notice again in verse 14, he said this, and he consented in the matter and proved them 10 days. Daniel knew that he was making a choice that would be affecting his life later on. It's just not the here and now that you're worried about. It's what's going to happen in 10 days or 10 months or 10 years or 10,000 years. We must recognize that God wants us to be in his will. Consider the consequences of your activities. Consider the consequences of the things that you do. Ask yourself, what will be the possible outcome if I engage in this activity? I'm telling you, the Bible says again in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that he shall also reap. How will your choices affect this life, maybe in physical terms? How will it affect your life in spiritual terms? Not only did Daniel know that the Lord would bless him in the here and now, but also later on, that he would be kept by the Lord. And again, I'm telling you, if you do it God's way, there is a great blessing for you. I'm not a health and wealth preacher at all, but I'm just saying, when you do it his way, he goes before you, he helps you and encourages you, he will bless you. So he looked ahead and saw the consequences, but lastly, Daniel made a choice and confirmed it with conversation. Daniel made a choice and confirmed it with conversation. So here's where it's important. Sometimes in life, we can walk the straight and narrow, which is good, but we need to voice that to others. We need to open our mouth and share those things. Again, he simply asked in verse 11 and verse 12, he says, prove us. Let us show you. And he opened his mouth and asked for permission. We should recognize that Daniel did it the right way. He did not degrade the guy, he did not threaten, he didn't do it in a disrespectful way. He opened his mouth in the right way and asked and simply allowed the Spirit of God to move in the right way. People are less likely to tempt you when they say this, if they know that you stand firm and fast in your convictions. And they're also less likely to follow you if you do things in a disrespectful way. Daniel spoke in the right way and simply showed that he was committed to the Father and wanted to prove that by his actions. And so there's some possibilities. Daniel stood faithful and Daniel stood the test of time. So here's the third thing. Not just the problem of the faithful and the possibilities of the faithful, but now the payment for the faithful. Just real quick. Notice first, God gives them a better complexion. God gave them a better complexion. Verse 15. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fair and fatter in flesh than all the children that did eat the portion of the king's meat. I like to call that a Baptist complexion. Now, let me say fair and fatter. Now, I'm not trying to degrade us, amen, but they looked at things different than we did. It's kind of like you ever looked out there in a cow field and you see this old scrawny cow that could count all the bones. You say, what's wrong with that cow? And then next to her is another fine, big, fat cow, sleek, and just looks. You say, man, what a good-looking cow. That's what they're saying. They looked fair and fatter. They looked like they had been nourished. They were strengthened. And they said, man, there's something going on with Daniel and his friends. Now, notice they ate pulse, which could be veggies and grain, but they looked better. And I like Proverbs 28:25. This is my friend Greg Kirkland's favorite verse. He said, he that is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he that puts his trust in the Lord, he shall be made fat. God gave them a greater complexion. Secondly, God gave them a clear mind. God gave them a clear mind. Verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Not only knowledge was given to Daniel and these other kids, but visions and dream and all wisdom. You know, you have all kind of knowledge, but if you cannot apply it, if you don't use wisdom, it simply means nothing. Daniel had these great things. You say, oh, I wish I had those things. Here's what God has given believers. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God gave those boys, those obedient boys, great, great wisdom. But notice the next thing he gave them. Not just a better complexion and a clear mind, but a commanding presence. Verse 19. And the king communed with them, and among them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king, and on matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. At the end of 3 years, fast forward, they are brought in, they are questioned, and the king says, I have not seen anybody like this. Found them not just better, but 10 times better. Wisdom and great influence were placed in these guys. Now you say, well, why? You know, there's some people out there who say, well, it's because of their diet. They had the right diet, and God blessed them. They had the right diet, and they gave them a clear mind. They didn't eat all this meat and stuff. Today we have all kinds of diets. There's the Daniel diet, like here, and the Ezekiel diet that's found in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 9. That's all good, but it was not the diet. It was this idea that God was working in their life. It is not about the food. It is about the Father. And I wonder today, will we focus on Him first and put Him first? That's what made these kids so tremendous in the eyes of King Nebuchadnezzar. They put God first. How so? Notice the last thing. Not just a better complexion and clear mind and commanding presence, but God gave them continuing success. God gave them continuing success. Verse 21, and Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. Now you look at this. The Babylons came and they would fall to Darius the Mede. Daniel still influenced Darius the Mede. And then Cyrus would come into Persian and would overcome them. And then Daniel would still influence Cyrus. For almost 70 years, Daniel had a place of influence. And was simply so God could use him and help him to simply do those things to get his will done. Not Daniel's will, but God's will. And we're going to see that these different kings all declare how good Daniel's God is. And they will say, there is no God like the God of Daniel. God was using him in a tremendous way. He really wants us to be that same people. To recognize, yes, we will have troubles and trials and hardships. We will have the world knocked down around us, we may feel. But God is still helping us and using us. How can we be like that? Recognizing that the same God that used Daniel can also use us when we simply are willing to obey His call. Let me close with this. I want you to recognize that anybody can come to the Lord. We just had to submit to His will and surrender to Him. Just recognize His way is better. I'm reminded of a movie how this person is being attacked by a villain and there's a gun battle going on. And then the hero shows up and says, hey, if you want to live, follow me and do exactly as I say. I have the way out. And so if the person does that, they are saved, they are rescued, they are kept from being dead. And Jesus Christ is the same thing. We live in a world where the villain is against us, and all of a sudden Christ shows up at the right time in history and says, if you want to live, do as I say and follow me, and I have life everlasting. Follow me. So you have a choice this morning to recognize, yes, in this world we live in is rough and hard, and trouble and trials are everywhere. But there's one that calls our name, that wants to lead us to the better place, that wants to help us through our situation so that we may stand victorious. And not only us make it to heaven, but also help others hear the gospel that they too may understand the goodness of our Father above. He is calling today, even in our trials. I wonder how we will answer Him when we come or not. The Lord calls. Bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Think about your life. I'm not sure what your circumstance is, but I know this, that God does. And in our circumstances, God is moving us and pulling us and drawing us to answer the call. Daniel did, and it made a difference. Even today, we see his influence, not just in the pages of the Bible, but even in the place we live right now. And that same thing can be said of us. We will be called by God, and we will make a difference in the lives of others around us if we'll only simply do his will. Maybe today you're here and never accepted Christ. Why not let this be the day that you say yes? Maybe you're here today and you've answered the call, but somehow just kind of lax in the world of Babylon, just kind of going along with the worldly things. Why not recommit and say, today I will follow like the Lord desires? If God's calling, it is never too late. I wonder, will you simply do that? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and peace. We thank you for Daniel and his example. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to live in a world, even though it's a world of darkness, you've called us to be a people of light. Help us now to be found faithful in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.